This is John Shannon with Radio Free Galisteo, and I am speaking with author Kelly Weil, who is a journalist at The Daily Beast. She has written a book called Off the Edge, Flat Earthers, Conspiracy Culture, and Why People Will Believe Anything. This seems very timely. Clearly, over the given what's happening with COVID and I guess even our foreign policy, just about everything has turned into there are alternate facts for just about everything now. But you start this by talking about flat earthers. Tell us about this book and why did you head for those folks?
Sure thing. So I became fascinated with flat earthers around 2017. And as my job for the Daily Beast, I monitor weird parts of the internet. I'm always checking the fringes. And around that time, I started seeing people in extremist forums posting about flat earth. And I said, they've got to be kidding, right? No one actually believes that. And so I spent some time with it. And I started talking to flat earthers and going to their conventions, meeting them in person. And I found out that it's a very real belief system. It's not a real theory, but it's something that people genuinely believe and preach. So I thought it was an interesting parable about how people could really accept any information that spoke to them, that they wanted to believe. And so I've stuck around with them for about 5 years.
Okay. How do we know they're wrong?
It's very easy to disprove flat earth. And in fact, we've been doing that for thousands of years. My easy answer is you go to the beach and you watch a sunset and you can see the sun going behind the horizon. It goes degree by degree. And that's only possible on a globe Earth. But there are a million other ways. You know, we've got photographs of Earth from space. You go up high enough in a plane or some other aircraft, you can see a bit of curvature. You can see through a telescope how the horizon drops away in accordance with the Earth's curve. So it's very, very easy, but it's not always so easy arguing those facts against flat earthers.
Yeah, because clearly they're quite convinced. And I was just going to say that, you know, pictures of Earth from space, there are people who deny that we've had a moon landing. So I would say that those would be the same folks who could say that picture from space is also a fake. Flat earthers, conspiracy theories, extremists. So I guess that's what's really kind of got my attention, is that there's a particular faction that seems to really want to glom onto this. What did you learn about the connection between extremist groups and beliefs in both the flat earth and other conspiracy theories?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not as if most flat earthers are extremists. And I feel a little defensive of them. I've got to point that out.
Sure.
But, you know, conspiracy belief is a very common phenomenon in extremist groups. And it works if you understand some of the logic behind conspiracy theories. People don't get into them strictly because they're the most reasonable explanation. They get into them because they offer an alternate explanation when people feel like the available facts and realities just aren't palatable. So very often, people who are drawn to extremist movements are looking for reasons to say that we're being persecuted, or there's a conspiracy against us, there's a plot, they're trying to keep us down. And often that goes hand in hand with blaming, say, a minority group, a minority religion, some kind of external other. So although a theory like flat earth does not need to be bigoted in any way, it could just be a really hokey belief in alternate geography. Mm. It ends up having this strange alignment with people who are looking for reasons to blame the other. And they'll start grafting flat earth onto kooky government beliefs or religious bigotries, things like that. So that's why, again, they don't need to work hand in hand, but often they help each other.
Interesting. These beliefs, as you've stated, are deep-seated, and many of them have gone to incredible lengths to either prove their theory or prove it to others, both to the amusement of many and to the doom of some of the people trying to give this proof. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So one figure in the Flat Earth movement who I spent a bit of time with in this book was a man named Mike Hughes. And he was a stuntman. He was an amateur rocketeer. And he had this idea that he would build a rocket ship and launch himself high enough in the air, and then from there on deploy weather balloons, and that would carry him way up into space, and he could take a picture of the Earth's curvature or lack thereof. This was really dangerous. I mean, he was a good stuntman who's kind of an Evel Knievel type guy, but these rockets are really difficult to operate. And he had some close calls, and it's something we discussed, but he kept doing these jumps, trying to get higher and higher. And in February 2020, he fatally crashed in a rocket. It all went wrong. And, you know, he's not the only person seeking answers that way. I've met flat earthers who were convinced that they were going to do a cross Antarctica on skis and try and find the edge. And I just said, you know, that's taking it a bit far. You know, that's pretty dangerous. And unfortunately for some people who really hold this belief in their hearts, they think it's going to be worthwhile.
So what's the difference, for example, in the stuntman? Is it possible that he was doing some of this just for the attention, for the advertisement? Did you find him to really think that, hey, this is real and I'm going to show everybody?
That's something I interrogate in the book, because there is some controversy about his genuine flat earth belief. His agent believes that he wasn't genuine about that he was just, you know, using it to get more funding for these launches. And yet I spoke to people who were very close to him at the time of his death and prior to that. And they said, yeah, Mike was a flat earther. I mean, we spent all kinds of time trying to talk him out of it. On my life, he was a flat earther. And, you know, I know for a fact that he believed in other conspiracy theories, some legal conspiracy theories, because I know he filed some fake legal motions. I said, Mike, it doesn't work that way. And he said, yeah, it does. It'll work its way through the court system. So, you know, he was definitely an eccentric in his beliefs. And I think the closest thing I got to an answer here was chatting with his longtime friend and business partner. And he said, you know, Mike was never, in the beginning, Mike wasn't totally convinced of flat earth. He kind of understood that it could get him some attention. He kept an open mind about it, but he, in becoming so aligned with that movement, really cast in his lot with them, started to believe. And I think what I came away with was, you know, at the moment of his death, he was one of the most prominent flat earthers. And we can't know his mind, but we can know what he said for years and years before this launch.
So this belief can obviously become dangerous if people are willing to experiment to prove it. But what would you say is a long-term danger to the folks that believe in this? And I guess even to everybody else.
I think the long-term danger is it's more social, it's more mental, because when you get involved in these fringe theories, they alienate you from other people and that shared reality you had. I mean, you know, you can joke about flat earth being a funny belief and you bring it up at the Thanksgiving table and people are going to make fun of you. But, you know, there is a very real element of isolation and alienation that people experience when they get involved in conspiracy movements, and they become distanced from, I think, those real world ties that are very important, that are very stabilizing. And instead they build new community with people who are of the same conspiracy beliefs, people who just tell them they're right and reaffirm those ways of thinking. And I don't think those are the healthiest relationships to foster. I think often the ways that people are happiest are, you know, when you're around real people, not just your online friends, and you've got this shared truth and shared experience. And I think that's something that's really integral to the social fabric, and you lose it with really weird conspiracy theories, be it flat earth or another.
This is Radio Free Galisteo, music and information from the Galisteo Basin. Radio Free Galisteo is listener supported. Go to www.radiofreegalisteo.com and click on our Patreon support button to become an active supporting member of Radio Free Galisteo. Okay, so here's one that is scales up considerably, and that is people who have different conspiracy theories about either COVID-19 or the what's in the vaccines, microchips or whatever, and as a consequence, refuse to either have to be vaccinated because of a conspiracy theory, or refuse certain medical treatment because of a conspiracy theory. That's something a lot bigger than, you know, we can look at flat earthers and go, yeah, that's pretty fringe. But COVID-19 conspiracy is consuming a huge part of not just the U.S. population, but you can find it all over the world. That seems really dangerous.
It is. And, you know, it's funny. The book writing process is always really long. So I turned in this book near the beginning of COVID-19 and just writing, I'm like, oh no, what's coming, you know? But I think it speaks to why people get into conspiracy theories, and people often believe them not because they're the most evidence supported, but because it affirms a belief they already had, a distrust, or it gives them alternate information when they feel like there's something missing, when an answer doesn't speak to them or there's no answer at all. So when COVID kicked off, I think people did feel that sense of fear. They did feel that sense of confusion. Where are the answers? And often the first people to fill that information void were not credible medical sources, but were conspiracy theorists, were people kind of speculating and spouting off. And I think some of that's even understandable. The unfortunate element of that is it's really got into the bloodstream, this misinformation about vaccines and about how to protect yourself has been so latent in the way we discuss COVID almost from the very beginning. And, you know, a knock-on effect of that is it's become politically polarized as well in a way that doesn't necessarily need to be. You know, conspiracy theories often almost work as like a team sport. You know, you're with us or against us, you believe this or you don't. And unfortunately, that maps very well onto American politics, where you've got red team, blue team, and one of them is the vaccine team and one isn't. So I think it just the current information void and political polarization really made it optimal for these theories to spread.
Yeah. And you said information void, which certainly is, I guess, the fault of the actual experts. But what about the over-accessed information or hyper-accessed information? I mean, you know, we're doing this across the internet right now. And I mean, that's how this stuff gets out. It's not like you read this in a newspaper anymore, which, you know, you'd have to get the World News or whatever that old magazine was that was full of all, you know, Bat Boy found in cave kind of thing. This is stuff you can find moment to moment on the internet. Do you combat that? How do you combat that? How do you deal with it?
You know, it's tough. And it's how to combat it. There's a million different answers, and they vary technological points and I think philosophical and legal points. But I'll say this, I think the internet had a very specific role in artificially inflating bad information. And what I mean by that is sites like YouTube, they have algorithms that recommend certain content to you. So if you're watching YouTube, it's going to suggest another video because it wants you to, you know, stay on the website, keep making revenue for them. And from around 2014 to 2019, that algorithm really, really promoted flat earth videos. And the reason for that is because flat earth is kind of crazy. It's out there. People are curious and they click on those videos. And that was the case with a lot of conspiracy content. It was very high performing. And rather than see that trend and say, ooh, is there something wrong with our algorithm? Or are we pumping bad information? YouTube let that simmer. And flat earth was way overrepresented in the things that people were searching. So that's how so many people got into this theory. In 2019, YouTube finally said, okay, we're going to pump the brakes at least on some of these theories on flat earth, theoretically on medical misinformation, but you find it everywhere. So as far as remedies for disinfo online, I think one of the easiest ways to at least address it is get those companies to fix the algorithms that they had running in the first place. You know, if flat earth was artificially inflated on Facebook and YouTube, well, fix that internally. But when we get into questions of what we take down, you know, what groups we ban, it becomes pretty thorny. And I wish I had the magic answer for that, but you know, it's a tough question.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fine line between actual free speech and harmful speech, I guess. That is, nobody's gotten an answer right yet. So a number of these folks have over time come to understand that they were mistaken. They probably, as you mentioned, experienced some sort of social isolation. Their families had either rejected them. What happens when people change their views and or snap out of it?
You know, I've only met a couple people who admit to snapping out of it. And I know there's more. I know there's tons. But I think they're admitting that kind of speaks to the difficulty of doing it and the bravery I think it needs to say, hey, I was wrong. When you're involved in a theory like flat earth, it's often so all-consuming. It's often so us against them that admitting that your theory was incorrect is difficult and it's a little embarrassing. Mm-hmm. What I did find, though, with the couple of people who did say, yes, I am an ex-flat earther, let me tell you my story, is they left the theory because they had good, compassionate engagement from people outside of the movement. They were approached by people who said, you know, Earth isn't flat, and I don't want to debate this with you in a contentious way. I don't want to turn it into one of these internet spectacles, but I'd like to discuss it with you. And that human element and the care that went into it, they said that that was really helpful, and it didn't make them want to double down. It allowed them to consider that person's viewpoints and the fact that they also had family and friends who embraced them back. They weren't completely cut off, really helped them in getting out of that theory. And I think that's something to keep in mind when we try and bring people back to reality.
Kelly, what would you say is, what's one of the primary takeaways you'd like people to have from this book?
I think the primary takeaway is that it's easy to laugh about flat earth. And I knew that going in. I kind of picked it because it was one of the funniest conspiracy theories in my mind. But flat earth and conspiracy theorizing is not just some fringe belief that weirdos do. You know, we are all capable of these conspiratorial thought patterns. They emerge when we're frightened or when we don't feel like we have all the available information. We're all susceptible to it in a degree. So I don't think that conspiracy theorists are necessarily dumb or ignorant. They're people who need to be understood and approached with caution in bringing them back. And so that's what I like to put out in the world, is I don't think people go off the information edge. I think there's room for return, but we need to do it carefully.
Kid gloves.
Sometimes, you know, there's some theories that are pretty vile or hateful, and I it's tough to say, you know, you got to deal with that in very nice terms. I'm certainly, you know, not great at it, but understanding, you know, why people believe what they do and trying to work from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not shutting down conversation, I guess, trying to not have red and blue, but more purple. Where can people find your book? And it's out today, right?
It is. It is out today, Tuesday. It should be pretty much anywhere books are sold, but my publisher is Algonquin Books. You can find a link there. If it's not in your bookstore, you can get it on any website. Support your local bookstores is great. So yeah.
If you want, send us a link through Algonquin and I'll post it with the podcast so people can go right to it.
Oh, thank you. I will.
You're very welcome. Any final thoughts today, Kelly?
Man, I would just, remind people if you're ever watching flat Earth videos at 2 in the morning and you're starting to doubt, go out there, go to the beach, check the sunset. It's still round, people.
All right. You've been listening to Kelly Weil, who is the author of Off the Edge: Flat Earthers, Conspiracy Culture, and Why People Will Believe Anything from Algonquin Books. Out today, which is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. This will air a little after that, but that means it's already out there. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For Radio Free Galisteo, this is John Shannon.